get started, why don't everybody go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We are going to be talking about Mary, whom I love, and I will preface with that I am a lot shorter-winded than Pastor Bill. So we will not be here near as long as normal. I'm going to be done, and you're going to wonder if we even had a message. All right, so let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end.'" Okay, so we're going to talk about Mary, and I feel like for the majority of the time, Mary herself is reserved for the month of December. And she gets an honorable mention at Easter for being so brave at the cross, but she's reserved for the month of December. And I don't think that's fair, but I do think that it's relevant for right now. And let's do a quick recap before we get there. So from Genesis to Matthew, we learn in the beginning that God created the world and everything in it, including human beings. And very shortly after God created us, we messed it up really bad. We invited disease, depression, sin, hopelessness, and hell itself into the world. So humanity invited this, which is a chasm that couldn't be crossed between us and Father God. There was no way for us to bridge that gap, to cross that chasm without a Savior. We tried many things, sacrifices, covering ourselves. We tried building a tower from earth to heaven. None of it was good enough. And the world was covered in this inky darkness. And no matter how many different ways that we tried, we could not bridge that gap. So then God finds favor with this young girl, and he decided to give her the hope of the world to deliver. And Jesus started out like all babies do, that tiny little grain of rice. And he grew and he grew, and Mary had to endure some things that were uncomfortable and painful. Any woman who has ever been pregnant knows that it is so wonderful all the time. Every moment is filled with joy. After I got pregnant with my first child, and all of these women were like, "It is the most wonderful thing in the world," I was like, "You guys are big, fat liars." From day one, I found out I was pregnant because I was throwing up. And you can't sleep. And then it gets to a point where you can't see your feet. And then you have to have somebody help you get your shoes on if you can fit in them. Because either your feet grow, which mine did, or they swell, which mine also did. And then you can't sleep on your back, but then you can't also sleep on your stomach. So you have to sleep on your side, and then when you get tired, you have to heave it over to the other side. It's so wonderful. And then when it's time for that bundle of wonderfulness to join the world, that's also so much fun. There's so much joy in giving birth, and I just think it's great. And Mary just did a great job. And she had to journey, in addition, a very long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's about a 70-mile journey. And we don't know the exact mode of transportation for sure, but theologians speculate, because of the cultural practices at the time, that she most likely rode that distance on a donkey. 70 miles full term pregnant is a long journey in a Rolls Royce, much less a donkey. That's just unspeakable. So she had to endure a little bit of discomfort. And to deliver Jesus, she had to endure some pain. But she was able to deliver the hope of the world that we had desperately been needing. And as a child, I always thought, how cool would that have been to have been Mary? Has anybody, I am a kids and family pastor, I do expect responses. How many of you, by show of hands, probably mostly women, have ever thought it would be really have been cool to have been Mary? Nobody? I'm the only, wow, only one. So maybe you guys aren't going to love this message. I've got a surprise for you. Okay, so I thought it would have been really cool to have been Mary, to carry the Savior of the world inside of you, to be able to say to God himself, because I said so, I'm the boss for right now. When you grow up, it's a different story. Okay, just remember I birthed you. There are some pretty cool Bible characters in the Bible. Okay, we've got Moses, and with God, he parted the Red Sea. He got to witness all 10 plagues, right? David got to slay a giant. Noah got to build an ark. JL got that whole, like, tent peg thing in a guy's head. All my sisters said amen. We are like this with JL. But what about Mary? Like I said, she gets reserved for this little tiny month of the year. And we talk about her, but she carried hope inside of her. One of my favorite Christmas songs is O Holy Night. And the part where it says, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. That is so, like, that part makes me want to cry. The world was just tired. Have you ever been in a place where you're just tired? And you just need, like, a little sliver of hope? That's what Mary was carrying inside of her. And then the more I thought about this over the years, the more I realized Mary is not the only person in the world who got to do this. And before you call me a heretic, hang on for just a second. There is only one Jesus, and he only came in the flesh once. And he will come again, hallelujah. Hopefully sooner than later. But when we decide to follow Jesus, we have the Savior of the world inside of us. And it is for a purpose. And it is not just for us. It is for everyone. Colossians 1:27 says, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is inside of us for the purpose of delivering hope to people. And sometimes it is in the most unlikely places, like a stable. And sometimes we have to go through very uncomfortable things to deliver that hope. And we have to journey to places that we never intended on journeying to. And Peter talks about this same hope that Mary delivered physically that we now deliver spiritually. So if you guys can turn to 1 Peter really quick. 1 Peter is my favorite book in the Bible. It is so wonderful. And it's short, but I love it. Okay, so I'm going to read verses 3 through 12. But before, let me set you up with just a little bit of context, okay? Context is key, by the way. When you read the Bible, you need context. So let me give you the context. Verses 3 through 12 were originally written as one long continuous sentence, meaning that it needs to be read and received as one long continuous sentence. And here is why, okay? I'm just going to cherry pick a couple, like we so... Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
And edifying? Yes. And glorious? As verse 7 that says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. And if we, which is also wonderful, okay? But if we cherry pick 3 and 4, we're like, man, there's a marvelous inheritance that can never, ever be taken away from us. And it has no change and no decay. Amen and amen. And we don't read verse 7. So when we get hit by a truck of a trial and lit on fire, we go, well, God must not be in this. Because I was promised no change or decay. I was promised a priceless inheritance. I was promised that's for something that can never, ever be taken away. That's why we have to read all of it together. Listen to how wonderfully, beautifully packaged, like Merry Christmas. God. For you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. And even though you must endure trials for a while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through these many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your soul. Good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things to happen. This is why it was written as one consecutive sentence. That is a lot of words and a lot of stuff, but it was meant to be received as one so that we didn't separate and go, life is wonderful, and in which inexpressible joy, God is protecting you. It's gonna really be bad for a little bit, but hang on because great stuff is coming, okay? It's hope intertwined with the reality of life. The reality of following Jesus. God never, ever, ever promised in the word that your life would just be one little bed of roses. Never, never. And if you ever, ever are told that, then run so far away. In the trial, there is hope. That's right. So Peter is reiterating that hope is not based on our circumstances. It is based on our relationship with Christ. This hope comes from our salvation being secure in Christ's sacrifice. And our salvation, it was prophesied about, orchestrated by God, and is anchored in Christ's suffering and glory. There is always going to be a pain process in giving birth. And as someone who is a follower of Christ, your responsibility as a Christ follower is to deliver the message of hope. Delivering the message of hope is not reserved to a person on a platform with a microphone. Of salvation. Our job is to continuously deliver that hope to other people, but it is not always an easy, wonderful, super duper smiley process. Not everyone's going to follow you to Bethlehem. Not everyone's going to stick with you during the birthing process. And you might end up delivering the message of hope that God has given you to deliver in the most unlikely place, at the most unlikely time, with the most unlikely people. It is a gift that is given to us. And it's a gift that doesn't come with strings attached, but it does come with a responsibility. So I'm going to tell you a story